The Spotlight. Join us on The Spotlight, the program that highlights the inspiring journeys of UN volunteers across South Sudan. Discover their challenges, their achievements, and the impact they are making in the communities across the country. Tune in every Friday at 1 p.m. with a repeat on Sundays at 8 p.m. only on Radio Mirror, the voice of peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to the Sport Program. I'm Jago Tut, and I will be with you in this episode of Spotlight. Our guest today is Fajong Benjamin, a 34 years old from Cameroon. He holds a master's degree in human rights and development and is currently pursuing a second master in international law and diplomacy. Benjamin describes himself as someone with a passion for music, travel, and exploring the beauty of nature. He is also deeply committed to supporting vulnerable communities. Welcome to Spotlight, Benjamin.
Thank you very much, Jagatun.
We are going to start by asking you, what recollection do you have about your first day as a UN volunteer in South Sudan?
Oh, I vividly remember the nostalgic feeling I had when I landed at the Juba International Airport on January 9th. 2025, and I was warmly received by a team of peacekeepers who handed over my UN ID and said, welcome for service to South Sudan.
You use beautiful words. You said you have a nostalgic. Nostalgic means that actually the circumstances under which you have been received was actually delighted and beautiful. Despite the separateness and these things that you feel when you leave your country and family, has the absence from your family affected you?
Well, definitely it has. It has definitely affected me. But I must say my commitment to contribute to global peace supersedes my personal comfort, of course.
So if I can ask, what are the best 3 things you have done as a volunteer so far?
The best 3 things I have done as a volunteer, I would choose to say the areas I have contributed to. Because, of course, before I came, there have been other people working here and they've done a whole lot. So I would say I have contributed to the enhancement of the respect for human rights in Greater Yei. Greater Yei includes Yei River County, Morobo County, Lanya, and, of course, Kajokeji. This is sometimes through monitoring and advocacy actions, monitoring of human rights and advocacy actions. I have also contributed to the empowerment of communities in Greater Yei through capacity building programs. And lastly, I think I have engaged with key stakeholders to promote transitional justice in Greater Yei, which of course has recorded some positive impacts in the justice system of the region.
This is, sounds like actually achievements more than just 3 things that you have done as a volunteer. So the question is, it has been easy for you to achieve those 3 things?
Well, I must confess, it has not been easy. And I really did not expect it to be easy, of course. The experience and fulfillment I get from serving vulnerable populations is worth every bit of it.
So you said you have to confess that it wasn't actually easy to achieve those 3 things that you have just mentioned. So here, what survival skills that you have acquired that you think could be valuable to anyone aspiring to become a volunteer like you?
Oh, thank you very much. Talking about survival skills, I must confess that before I was recruited as a UN volunteer, just when I had submitted my application, I went ahead to do some background check to understand the local context of South Sudan and specifically Yei River County, where I had to be working. And I had to look at the political, the economic and social dynamics of the area. And of course, this background knowledge helped me to quickly learn adaptability. I was able to understand this context. So before I left my country to come here, I already knew how I needed to relate with the locals in order to succeed in my work and, of course, survive. I have also learned to develop mental fortitude over time, which has helped me to remain calm while under pressure. Of course, you would agree with me that working as a human rights officer in such a context is quite a pertinent job and delicate as well, and one needs to be in their right frame of mind to stay effective in the work. I have also learned to show empathy while staying culturally sensitive. I have learned that a good intention wrapped in a culturally abusive package has the capacity to destroy not only my relationship with the local population, but also have the capacity to gravely affect the work of other peacekeepers after me. So therefore, it is my duty to positively and consciously represent, of course, the United Nations and even my country, because whatever I do here will definitely leave timeless footprints. Lastly, I think I have learned teamwork. Of course, there is no way one would succeed and survive in a context like this without teamwork. So I work in an amazing team where my supervisor, Arthur Bengana, and my colleague, Mawa Gordon, are tirelessly willing to support and to guide. And of course, even the collaboration with other units make the work so enjoyable. Thank you.
You talked about teamwork, and you talked about the environment that you have to actually to cope with. Lastly, you talk about adaptability. So in terms of adaptability, how has your life changed by serving as a volunteer?
Well, I must say there have been a lot of positive changes in my life. Of course, serving humanity, especially in an international space, has given me a deeper sense of fulfillment. You know, to achieve solid peace, the building process must not be rushed. It is, what I say, one block at a time. And one thing that makes this whole experience even more fulfilling for me is the unique opportunity I have been given to contribute at least a block to this process. Additionally, I think my life has changed in that it has positively impacted my physical and mental health. Again, I have grown in skills, in resilience, in confidence, you know. And serving as a volunteer has helped me to build amazing relationships, which have impacted my life positively. And lastly, I can say I also believe that my perspective about life has broadened, and because I see things better, I can also appreciate better this privileged position I have been given.
Yeah, this is wonderful. And when describing yourself, you mentioned that actually you are someone with a passion for music, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So right. Now we are going to break for music. Which song do you want us to play for you? And I would ask you why.
Oh, I would love for you to play for me Goodness of God by Cissy Winans. This is simply because when I reflect on my timeline from birth to date, I see nothing but the goodness of God. That's it.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. have led me through the fire, and in darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Was all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Wonderful music, goodness of God. Now, what attracted you to become a UN volunteer in the first place?
It is my passion to provide help or any form of support to vulnerable people.
What are the things that you feel profoundly touched by as a volunteer?
Generally, I would say when I see local populations and innocent civilians experience gross human rights violations and abuses. Of course, this may include witnessing families who have to survive on water only, with no guarantee of a single meal a day. Coming across young girls and children who have been through cycles of rape. Coming across children being unable to attend school because their parents cannot afford. You find people who are in dire need of basic health care but cannot afford, and the list runs long and long and longer.
Actually, that is making sense and is touching even me. So, but I can ask you, or if you allow me to ask you, what's your approach when you started?
Well, when I left my country and I took up my voluntary engagement in South Sudan as a human rights officer, my approach was I spoke less and I listened more. from my supervisor and other colleagues in the Yale field office. Then gradually I got involved in direct community engagements, including through human rights monitoring, awareness raising, capacity building, advocacy actions with local authorities, community trust building, and social cohesion activities, to name a few.
Yeah. And that the way you started approaching the as a volunteer, but I think through the course of doing so, there are things that you start by as a volunteer. So what was your first moment of serving as a volunteer? To elaborate more, this could be something that you have did in your community back home or wherever. It's not necessary here in South Sudan.
Okay, I can remember I had my first official volunteering experience back home in 2009, where I served as an environmental protection volunteer, which involves tree planting exercises, awareness raising, and community cleaning exercises. That was my first official volunteering experience.
Now, coming back to UNV, tell me about your most memorable moment as a UNV.
I would not say I can pin on a specific memorable moment as a UNV, but I think my entire stay in South Sudan has, as a UNV, has been a beautiful experience not to forget in a hurry. But if I should narrow it down to one, I would say it was during one of my capacity building sessions of community leaders on human rights. Of course, not as the most memorable, but as a component of the memorable experiences I've had.
What did you like about it?
Oh, I loved the way the community leaders were enthusiastic about sharing practical experiences and their resolve in applying the newfound knowledge I gave them to improve on the human rights situation within their communities.
That is wonderful. Becoming a UN volunteer, leaving your country, separate yourself from the loved one back home. Was there anybody in your circle who had never done anything like that?
Well, yes, but at the national level, of course. So having this opportunity to do it at an international level is great inspiration both to me and my circle, and a reminder, of course, to dream bigger and work harder.
Let's go to the musical break. Now I'm asking you to ask for a song and allow me to ask you why these songs.
Oh, this time I am going to choose Firm Foundation by Maverick City Music. And of course, this is because Christ is just my foundation and He's the rock on which I stand, nothing more.
I'm standing on something sure, solid foundation. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, yeah. 'Cause He's never let me down, He's faithful through generations. So I He fell now, He won't. He's not gonna fail me. He's not gonna fail me. He won't, no, no, no.
I've still got joy in chaos. Yeah. I've got peace that makes no. So I won't be going under. No, I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down, He's
I know him to be faithful. Yeah.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
Coming back to our discussion about volunteering life and challenges, how does the prospect of being a volunteer in often hard conditions suit you?
Well, I would say I studied human rights. And if the impact of the human rights I studied must be felt, I think it should be at the forefront or at the front line where the real violations happen. And I am doing the work with joy. It is fulfilling for me and has always been my dream to serve vulnerable populations across the globe. So it's not strange.
If you found yourself stranded on a desert island, what luxury would you take?
God. God has worked with me through several desert islands and has worked for me when I got weary. So God is my only luxury here.
Yeah, you talk about the God as a luxury that you will take with you if you isolate you, or you found yourself rather isolated in a desert. Anybody in this life has people who have impact on him. Who are the people that have been so influential in your life?
Well, one thing I don't believe in is chance. I feel that nothing happens by chance. So all the people I have crossed paths with in my lifetime were carefully and divinely positioned to be of influence in my life in one way or the other. So, of course, I would say my family, friends and acquaintances, educators, mentors, employers, colleagues, and, of course, the wider community, including even the people who do not like me. You know, all of them are part of the plan, or they were part of the plan to make me what I am today. So I remain grateful.
Now let's ask you to describe to us your relationship with the community you work in.
Thank you very much. I would say the relationship so far has been cordial, collaborative, mutually respectful, receptive. I mean, during my community engagements, through awareness raising, capacity building, or advocacy actions, the locals are always glad to have someone all the way from Cameroon interacting with them, listening to their stories, and also sharing experiences. This is sometimes done over household chores, where I just meet them in the community, find them doing their daily chores, and I support them, I join them in the chores, or sometimes during cultural festivities and more. And it's been amazing all the way.
That's great. You mentioned earlier that all the surrounding, starting from the family, have impact on your career in terms of success progressing in your life. How have your parents dealt with your career and success?
Well, I would say initially they didn't find it easy because, of course, studying human rights and having to work at the level of maybe NGOs or the United Nations means you have to find yourself at the forefront of human rights violations. So it was not easy, but they got to accept my line of work some years back when I got a job back home as human rights officer and had to work in a typical conflict context. And of course, right now they are excited to see me excel in something I have been passionate about from childhood.
Yeah, it seemed to me like, or definitely, you love what you are doing, isn't it?
I really do.
So what would you have been if you hadn't become who you are at the moment, your current position at work?
Well, probably a human rights officer working with an international organization back home, or volunteering with vulnerable communities to improve lives.
So are you happy with how you have spent your time? Can you look at it to the point of 50 and think, yeah, time well spent?
I would say I'm not just happy, but super excited, because it is really time well spent and dream come true, of course. And I am confident that this is just the start of a beautiful career with the United Nations or with international spaces. You know, it is amazing when you have such an opportunity to impact lives, and even more amazing when it is something you are passionate about.
So how many marks do you give yourself out of 50?
Out of 50, should I say 51 and 50?
This is amazing. Benjamin, every guest on the spotlight is given a chance to choose a book. Which book would you like to read in the field assignment, for instance?
Well, I came across this book, which I have not read, but I saw the title and it was interesting. The title is When Helping Hurts, Alleviating Poverty Without Hurting the Poor and Yourself by Steve Corbett and Brian Fickard. So that's a book I would love to read.
That is great, amazing. To close this program, I'm giving you a chance to select the last song, and I'm not going to ask you why.
I would really want you to ask me why.
So now I'm asking you why.
Good, thank you. So I would go with Heal the World by Michael Jackson. And of course, the reason is obvious. The world is currently experiencing so much chaos and greatly needs healing.
By this wonderful song, we come to conclude this spotlight of today. Our guest was Fajon Benjamin, who is a 34 years old from Cameroon. Your host was Jago Tut. Bye-bye for now.
Think about the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them, and think if they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world. Growing, make a better world, make a better world, heal the world.
strength.